Our next presenter is Dr. Robert Levy. Dr. Robert Levy. Dr. Levy is a senior project director at CNA's Center for Health Research and Policy Program with more than 30 years experience. He's recently focused on the cost of Alzheimer's disease and related dementia on Medicare beneficiaries with severe and chronic disease. And in this presentation on Medicare beneficiaries' use of healthcare services, he's also recently examined the potential effects of healthcare reform in the civilian healthcare sector on healthcare costs and use of services by the Department of Defense beneficiaries. The title of his talk is Impact of Mental Health Comorbidities on Medicare Beneficiaries with Severe and Chronic Disease.
No, actually, the title is a little different, but that's okay. I'll be talking, measuring the impact of Alzheimer's disease and related dementias on the use of services of Medicare beneficiaries. And this was work done jointly with my colleague, Angie Chang, who's here in the audience. And I have no relationships to disclose. Okay, some background. I think, as most of you know, Alzheimer's afflicts many Americans. About the Alzheimer's Association estimates about 5.4 million Americans with Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's and related dementias interfere with daily life tasks. It's a severe neurodegenerative disease. Previous research has shown a link between ADRD and increased healthcare use and costs, especially for people with chronic disease, and that's the focus of what we're talking about. And most Medicare beneficiaries have one or more chronic diseases, diabetes, congestive heart disease, and so on. Now, fewer studies have examined ADRD's effects on specific chronic disease populations, these people with these specific diseases, especially while accounting for multiple comorbidities. In other words, people who have several of these diseases. So our objective then was to examine the impact of ADRD on the use of services for the fee-for-service Medicare beneficiary with comorbidities, multiple comorbidities in some cases. Study design was cross-sectional in that, of course, we were looking across individuals. We used the 2008 CMS, Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the LDS, the limited data set, which is a 5% sample of all Medicare beneficiaries. We focus on the fee-for-service. Again, the other group are Medicare Advantage, the HMO. CMS doesn't get all of their health care services and costs, so we didn't include them. We just look at the fee-for-service. And we focus, Alzheimer's is an affliction of the elderly, so we focused on the over 65. So out of about 2.3 million people in the sample, in the full sample, the limited data set sample, we had about 1.4 million beneficiaries. We use the standard analytic files for inpatient, outpatient, and the carrier file. The carrier file has visits to providers and private offices. It has lab tests, and it has radiology records. One missing thing is pharmacy. We would have liked to have pharmacy records, but there is no LDS at present, I believe. There hasn't been on pharmacy. So we focused on inpatient, outpatient, and the carrier files. Now, I mentioned we looked at people with comorbidities, so we use the particular definition of comorbidities. We use the Charlson Comorbidity Index to define severe and chronic disease. It actually has 17 diseases in the index. One was dementia, so we kind of excluded that since we're focusing on people with ADRD. What we did was we created mutually exclusive groups of people, people with none of these diseases, with one, two, three, or four or more. So we grouped them into these mutually exclusive groups. And the zero group includes those who had no healthcare use and costs at all. It also includes people who had other kinds of diseases. They could have had, in fact, Alzheimer's, but they didn't have one of the 16. And our definition of ADRD came from the AHRQ, a clinical classification software. This graph just shows you, the figure shows you the 16 diseases and the number of people affected. The green are the five diseases we really focused on. Chronic pulmonary disease, that affected more than any of the others of the 16, about 280,000. Then diabetes without complications, cancer, congestive heart failure, and diabetes with complications. There are others that, you know, affect significant numbers of people, but we focused on these five. The total number of Medicare beneficiaries in our sample, about out of the 1.4 million about a little less than half had one of these five diseases, one or more of these diseases. And the last bar shows the number of people with ADRD, Alzheimer's disease and related dementias. About 124,000 people, so about a little under 9% of our sample. This gives you an idea of where people sort out of the Medicare beneficiaries. The green shows the percentage of the Medicare population that falls in one of these five groups. So about 40% of the Medicare population has none of these 16 diseases. They could have Alzheimer's, but they didn't have any of the 16 that we focused on. What's interesting, again, so they make up about 40% of the Medicare population, but only about 9.4% of the costs. On the other extreme, and I know this has been talked about before, the sickest, you know, the people with many conditions, 4+, only make up about 10% of the population, but they constitute about almost 40% of the cost. Now, in terms of how people sort of sort themselves out with Alzheimer's disease, the green again shows the number of people without Alzheimer's, almost 43% without Alzheimer's also fall in the zero condition. The green looks similar to the previous slide, but of course that's mainly because most people do not have Alzheimer's of the Medicare population. What's interesting, I think, here is the blue bars, you know, there's not that much, it's not exactly a uniform distribution, but it doesn't vary that much across the five groups. The highest is the people with four or more, about 24%, lowest is the zero, but it's all between about 15 and 25%. So they're somewhat evenly spread across the five groups. Now, I said we'd focus, well, I showed you just a quick estimate of cost. We focused on the number of services, and the services we focused on were emergency room visits, inpatient stays, encounters with a provider, and total inpatient hospital nights, or the length of stay, basically. Now, all of these are counts, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, so they're likely not normally distributed. So when you tend to see, at least for a few of these, many observations at zero because beneficiaries don't use certain services. They're not big users of ER visits or inpatient stays. Provider encounters is an exception, and then nights in hospital is only positive when an inpatient stay occurred. So we were looking at people, how long they stayed in hospital, but given that they had a stay. And as some examples, this was for just people with cancer, about 34% of the beneficiaries had an inpatient stay, and about 26% had an ER visit, but almost all of them, 99%, had a provider encounter. Again, we're looking at people who were diagnosed and treated for these diseases. So our statistical approach, you know, we needed to take account of the fact that we're looking at count data. And so we use variations, really, of the negative binomial. We use the negative binomial regression for provider encounters. We used a variation of that, a zero-inflated negative binomial, for ER visits and hospitalizations. The zero-inflated accounts for distributions with excessive zeros. And so we're really testing for that. You know, one can conjecture why that might be. With the zero-inflated, it's really a two-part model. First part, you estimate a logit, a 0-1, to try and account for the excess zeros, and then the second part is a negative binomial. With our tests, we could test to make sure we could check the negative binomial versus the Poisson distribution. The Poisson is an often used distribution for counts. One of the issues with the Poisson is the mean and variance of the count variable it should be equal, and in most cases, this was not the case. This was not the case generally for the variables we looked at. The variance was larger than the mean, and so the negative binomial is just a generalization to account for over-dispersion, which you see in a lot of healthcare data. But we could test for the negative binomial versus the Poisson, as well as the zero-inflated model versus the negative binomial. And I should say, we've also, in our estimation, we included interaction terms. We have variables representing people with ADRD, Alzheimer's disease, as well as the number of comorbid conditions they had, and interaction terms to see how that changed over with the numbers of comorbidities. And then the last variable we estimated was for the length of stay for inpatient hospital nights. Here we use something called a zero truncated negative binomial, which accounts for distributions without any zeros, since we had no zeros, since we were only looking at people who had an inpatient stay. And we'll present, I'll present some examples for predicted utilization counts and confidence intervals. So the first thing I'll present are incidence rate ratios for ADRD against condition categories. This is all for one disease, congestive heart failure. And the way to look at this is relative to the base case. The base case here was somebody with one condition. They had just congestive heart failure, and they didn't have ADRD. So this is for inpatient hospitalizations, and the red square is the incident rate ratio for somebody. It's at 1 for somebody without ADRD, and then the diamond shows the incident rate ratio for somebody with Alzheimer's. And, you know, for somebody with one condition, this congestive heart failure, they were pretty close, but you had about a 27-28% increase in the number of inpatient hospitalizations compared to somebody without ADRD. And, of course, as you get more comorbid conditions, congestive heart failure plus one of the other 15, you can see there's a fairly significant increase in the number of inpatient hospitalizations you would see. And this pattern is really holds for provider encounters, inpatient hospital nights, and ER visits. So you see a difference for people within the same number of conditions between ADRD and somebody without, as well as the more number of comorbidities that they have. This shows predicted annual ER visits now for the five diseases that we looked at. But again, you can see the difference across the number of comorbidities as well as somebody with ADRD and somebody without. So, for example, in the first case, congestive heart failure, somebody who only has congestive heart failure and ADRD, we predicted a number of annual ER visits of about 1.4. And I should say, in this case, the reference group here was females in our lower age category, age 65 to 74. Living in the South, Caucasian, and lived the entire year. One of the variables we use is whether the patient died during the year. So these were for females in the South, the lower age category, who survived. So they had a predicted number of ER visits of about 1.4 versus those without ADRD, about 1.08. And then you can also see as they have three or more comorbidities, it goes to about 2.5. And you can compare even across diseases. So somebody with cancer actually had the fewest number of ER visits, slightly, about 1.04, and a high, that's with ADRD. Without ADRD, about 0.58. And in terms of the number of predicted provider counts, in this case, this was for the population where we focused. This is across all of the condition categories, but within each of the diseases. And so this is for the entire population. Again, the difference being here, somebody with ADRD versus those without ADRD. And we also could compare the five people with the five diseases to those in the condition zero category who had the fewest number of predicted provider counts. But the difference for somebody with, you know, they were less sick by some measure, but the difference in the number of predicted provider visits was highest. The ratio there for somebody with ADRD versus without was more than double, about 12 versus 6 or so. And the rest of the percentage increase was somewhere between 14 to 25%, depending upon the specific disease. So to conclude, after adjusting for multiple comorbidities and demographics, we found that ADRD is associated with greater utilization by the Medicare beneficiaries, the fee-for-service beneficiaries, with higher numbers of ER visits, hospitalizations, provider encounters, and inpatient nights. ADRD increases the utilization of services with the increasing number of comorbidities. So again, not surprising, but the greater number of diseases you have coupled with ADRD, you will have more of the of each of these services required. So, you know, provides a potential to target the Medicare population groups with ADRD and multiple comorbidities, provide more efficient delivery of care by implementing chronic disease management care models, especially in a primary care setting. And, you know, CMS is trying to do this with their ACOs, their accountable care organizations. And that's it. Any questions? There was some. There was some. I can't say I remember exactly what. We didn't focus on it. I mean, if you're interested, I could. We could send you some of the results if you want to see exactly what those results. You know, it wasn't as large as some other things, but I think there were some differences. You know, we had large population counts, so lots of things came in significantly. Whether it mattered in terms of on an absolute basis was something that. That's why we do the prediction, is to really see what these things really lead to. Out in the back. No, we didn't. We, you know, when we first began, we looked a little bit at that, but we really just focused on sorting people into these conditions. Well, we have a related work where we looked at the cost, also focused on this. So I would say I'm not sure we plan to do more on this particular population for these diseases, other than we've got the how it affects the cost also by disease, you know, the effect of Alzheimer's, now on services. I mean, if you have any suggestions, glad to hear them. But I don't think we have any specific efforts underway that we're going to look at.
That was actually one of my questions. So about future directions, whether or not you thought about, since you have, it's Medicare data and I guess you have zip code, could you kind of connect it with some healthcare market types of variables to look at?
Well, yeah, that's
those contextual.
We did actually think about moving down, you know, looking at, like, right now we only have about 5 or 6 regions.
Okay.
So we could go by state, certainly. I think we have zip code. Do you remember?
Interesting to look at.
We have county. We have county,
kind of,
that's right.
Yeah.
We don't have zip code, we have county.
Merging it with FIPS data and kind of looking at concentration of different types of providers that maybe treat Alzheimer's or are known to improve Alzheimer's treatment, whether or not that might.
Yeah, we did actually talk about a little bit about, I think, going down at least to the state, you know, getting to 50 states. Actually, it's more than 50 because the Medicare data is, you know, people are
everywhere,
some overseas. So we could do that, although we didn't really want to focus on that. So that's a possibility.
Okay. Thank you.